Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, September 25th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Midland County Out of Drought for First Time in 3 Years, by Mella McEwen, Oil Editor. For the first time in 3 years, Midland County is not in drought, according to the Texas Water Development Board's Water Weekly report. Ector County is listed as partially out of drought and partially in abnormally dry conditions. Statewide, there's been a drought since the fall of 2021, said Mark Wenzel, hydrologist in the Office of Water Science and Conservation at the TWDB. The good news is Midland County is out now. And the better news is, looking at the National Weather Service's seasonal drought outlook, Midland and Ector counties aren't listed to be back in drought before the end of the year, he told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. Meteorologist Vivek Shenoy with the National Weather Service office in Midland attributed the heavy rains of August 30th to September 2nd with helping bring the weather out of drought. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram, Shenoy noted that the Labor Day rainfall, a record 3.63 inches, was heavier than the 1.6 inches seen May 30th, when the area experienced thunderstorms, hail, tornadoes, and flash flooding. This thunderstorm weakened slightly as it finally moved south of the Midland-Odessa area over an hour later. A record 1.60 inches of rain was measured at Midland International Air and Spaceport for the day. Wenzel cautioned that the National Weather Service's outlook is not always 100% accurate and shouldn't be taken as a guarantee. Wenzel noted that the National Weather Service anticipates La Niña conditions during the fall and winter. While over 1,000 miles away, he said those conditions set up atmospheric conditions that will bring Texas a warmer, drier winter. The hope is, by this next spring, La Niña will have dissipated and Midland and Ector counties will see average weather conditions, Wenzel said. Shenoy said the National Weather Service is watching longer-term weather patterns and said high pressures above the Midland-Odessa area will keep temperatures at average levels, and there should be a very low risk of fires. According to the Texas Palmer Drought Severity Index, July and August 2011 in Midland County tied for top of the index, which dates back to 1895. Prior to 2011, Wenzel said the most intense drought category, exceptional drought, had not shown up, even during the extended drought that began in 1949 and lasted until 1957. The drought of the 1950s lasted longer, but didn't get to be as severe. It was terrible, but it was less intense than 2011, he said. A look at the severity index shows a brief rainy period from March until July 1949 interrupted the drought that began in March 1946, and then wasn't seen again until November 1957. Those are the ebbs and flows of climate, said Wenzel. Sometimes it's a little wetter, sometimes it's a little drier, he said. This article is entitled 14th Annual Project Literacy Kicks Off at De Zavala Elementary School by Kesley Salinas, staff writer. De Zavala Elementary School was buzzing with excitement on Tuesday morning as their first graders welcomed special guest author Lucky Diaz to the campus to kick off the 14th annual Project Literacy. Diaz is a bilingual author, songwriter, and children's television personality who loves eating tacos. He is a multi-Latin Grammy Award winner and has been nominated for an Emmy 6 times. Project Literacy is a collaborative initiative that promotes literacy and a lifelong love of reading. Tuesday morning, Diaz started the Project Literacy events by arriving at De Zavala with Curious George and creating a song with the children about Rita the Cheetah. He also read his children's book, La Guitarista, to the students, who received a copy of the book to keep. It was exciting. There was a police car, Curious George, and all the fun things, Diaz told the Reporter-Telegram of the kickoff. Everyone's been very friendly, and I'm so grateful to be here. Last year, Diaz visited Rusk Elementary School and read his story, Palatero Man. Diaz said that he's excited to be back in Midland because he loves being in Texas. It's almost like a homecoming to me, Diaz said. There's something warm and welcoming about the Texas wind, and it's very magical. I love Texas. It's great. Project Literacy started Tuesday and will end on Friday. Every year, Midland ISD students receive a book to keep, and each campus adds copies of the selected books to their library. The project also features school programs, author visits, and book signings for the entire community. Local businesses and organizations such as Wells Fargo, Midland County Public Library Foundation, the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Basin PBS, Midland ISD, and Midland County Public Libraries team up to make the project possible. This article is entitled Costco Clears Major Hurdle to Open in Midland by Trevor Hawes, Editorial Director. Costco Wholesale has cleared a major hurdle in its efforts to open in Midland. On Tuesday, City Council voted on a pair of items that brings the construction site within the city limits and provides the appropriate zoning for the area. By a 7-0 vote, council members approved the annexation of 22.19 acres located in the area where State Highways 191 and 158 intersect in West Midland. The property is currently owned by Cumberland and Western Resources of Loveland, Colorado, but will be sold to Costco. In a separate vote, also passed unanimously, City Council approved zoning the area for regional retail, which matches neighboring parcels. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended both actions at its meeting September 3rd. Michael Clark of Dallas-based civil engineering firm Winkleman & Associates, which is representing Cumberland and Costco, told council members that they hope to submit construction plans as early as next week. Mayor Lori Blong expressed her gratitude for the speed at which this project is moving. This is at least the third time the city has tried to bring Costco to Midland. On August 13th, City Council voted unanimously to approve an incentive package to entice the warehouse retailer to Midland. Under the deal, Costco must make a $50 million capital investment into the property and certify that it has created at least 100 new full-time equivalent positions, according to a previous Reporter-Telegram report. By doing so, Costco will receive a rebate of 50% from the city of its portion of real and personal property tax for the next 20 years, and a 100% reimbursement of the 1% it collects in city sales tax for the next 30 years. Midland Development Corporation has its own reimbursement package, which is not to exceed $6.5 million in a combination of infrastructure and site-related improvements, and through certification of 100 new employee positions being created. Capital improvements include extending Sinclair Avenue west of Loop 250 and constructing a new north-south road. Construction is slated to begin on or before June 1, 2025. Construction is expected to be complete by August 31, 2026. This article is entitled Frozen Pizzas Scattered After Train Hits Semi-Truck by B.K. Richter, staff writer. A frozen food fiasco was created Monday evening when a semi-truck transporting frozen pizzas was struck by a Union Pacific train. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, the collision between the semi-truck and train occurred at approximately 7:45 p.m. on Monday at the crossing of Highway 80 and South County Road 1250 in Midland County. The train hit the towed trailer, scattering frozen food along the tracks and roadway, said the DPS report. Shortly after the initial notification of the crash, Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry made a social media post about the occurrence. The truck was carrying frozen pizzas when it was hit, but don't worry, the pizzas will not go to waste, Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry wrote. After a late-night call from the Midland, Texas Fire Department, we were on the scene and got to work saving the pizzas. Nancy Ivey, director of Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry, shared with the Reporter-Telegram that the nonprofit has already begun distributing the frozen pizzas to families and will continue to do so throughout the week. "I just don't have the ovens to make all those pizzas," she explained. "So we are asking families to come by, no questions asked, just come in and receive God's blessing. These pizzas are huge, and they are sliced." As far as how many pizzas the soup kitchen received, Ivy wasn't able to give an exact number. However, she said her sons, via the help of the Midland Fire Department, were able to pack an entire trailer full. "It was a person that we knew from social media that provided the notification to us," she said. "They called us late last night, and thankfully we were able to pick up the pizzas. It took about an hour to pack the trailer full." Ivy thanked the community for the support of the ministry and for the ones who reached out to her after the train collision. "With the economy now, it's hard. I can't even imagine feeding a family of five. With this gift, we know that children will have a pizza waiting for them when they get home from school." Ivy added that for unhoused individuals, the nonprofit is making the pizzas and distributing them as well. The DPS report for the incident advised there were no injuries in the crash, which remains under investigation. This article is entitled "Midland High's Homecoming Coronation," by Kesley Salinas, staff writer. Midland High had its homecoming on Friday. The Bulldogs defeated El Paso Montwood's Rams 69-13. The homecoming court was introduced during halftime after the Stars and the Midland High band performed. Midland High's Duke and Duchess were Jeremiah Rodriguez and Maddie Frazier, and their princess and prince were Mabelie Quintella and Gabine Reyna. The homecoming king court included Joaquin Vasquez, Michael Waters, Cornell Hunt, Elijah McCoy, and Halston Van Staveren. Addison McGuire, Allison Valenzuela, Jolie Mallard, Kaylin Galindo, and Kaylin Salinas made up the 2024 homecoming queen court. Last year, Midland High crowned its first-ever life skills king and queen. Sebastian Navarrete Vasquez was crowned as the life skills homecoming king during Thursday's pep rally, and Sarah Brule was crowned as the life skills homecoming queen during Friday night's game. Elijah McCoy was crowned homecoming king during the pep rally, and Kaylin Salinas was crowned the 2024 MHS Homecoming Queen under the Friday Night Lights. This article is entitled "Midland Man Arrested for Fatal Collision with Cyclist" by B.K. Richter, staff writer. A Midland man has been arrested in connection to a collision that killed a cyclist. The fatal crash, which Midland police responded to at approximately 6:32 a.m. September 12th, involved a bicyclist and a Chevrolet 2500 pickup truck in south-central Midland. According to an arrest record, Matthew Ray Dominguez has been arrested and booked into the Midland County Detention Center on a $250,000 bond for second-degree manslaughter. The preliminary investigation indicated that the victim was traveling southbound on Johnston Street without proper equipment, the Midland Police Department said in a press release dated September 12th. The bicyclist was struck by the pickup truck driver, impacting the truck's front quarter panel. Midland police officers pronounced the bicyclist dead at the scene. This article is entitled, Midland to Reconstruct County Road 1130, Adding Center Turn Lane, by B. K. Richter, staff writer. Midland County has announced the future reconstruction of County Road 1130, located between Loop 250 and Farm to Market Road 307. The project is said to enhance not only the roadway's safety, but also increase the functionality for all users. The project will involve rebuilding the existing asphalt road and widening it to include a continuous center turn lane, the county said in a press release. This improvement aims to facilitate better traffic flow and reduce accidents in the area. The total cost of the project is estimated at $4 million, and the completion date for the project is expected by mid-January 2025. Construction will officially begin next week, with construction zoning starting south of East County Road 83 and ending north of the FM 307 intersection. While the county has advised that the roadway will remain open during the construction process, motorists should expect delays and are encouraged to seek alternate routes. This construction illustrates the growth of Midland County, Commissioner Jeff Summers said. Together, we are investing in a brighter future for our roads and the people who rely on them. For construction updates, visit the county's website or contact the Midland County Public Works Department for more information. This article is entitled, Texas Rangers and Chevron Award $50,000 in Grants, by Kesley Salinas, staff writer. The Texas Rangers Baseball Foundation and Chevron teamed up to distribute $50,000 in grants to support local organizations supporting the youth in Midland and Odessa. The inaugural grant cycle of the Chevron/Texas Rangers Community Grant Program awarded five local organizations with grants to help them support children through their programming. Casa de Amigos, First Tee West Texas, Midland Junior Baseball, Society of Professional Engineers Permian Basin Section, and Young Women's Leadership Academy, YWLA of Midland, were selected to be recipients of the first grant cycle and were awarded with a check presentation before the Rangers-Mariners game on Saturday. We are proud to join Chevron in making an impact on the Midland-Odessa region through the first-ever grant program, said Karen Morris, Senior Vice President of Community Impact and Executive Director of the Texas Rangers Baseball Foundation. This marks an exciting step forward in supporting local organizations, and we are thrilled to see these grants begin to make a difference in the community. Grant proposals were reviewed by the Texas Rangers Baseball Foundation staff and board of directors. Grants were only awarded to eligible organizations in the Midland-Odessa area that supported children ages 18 and under through programming such as educational curriculum, after-school programming, or youth sports. Chevron proudly supports nonprofit organizations and schools that are empowering youth in the communities where we operate, said Nicole Barber, Public and Government Affairs Manager for Chevron's Mid-Continent Business Unit. It's an honor to partner with the Texas Rangers Baseball Foundation to expand our support for youth in West Texas through this new grant program. Congratulations to all the grant recipients. Casa de Amigos will use their grant funds to support STEM, STEAM youth education programming. First Tee West Texas will allocate their funds to youth programming. Midland Junior Baseball plans to use their funds for their youth programs and to upgrade their playing surface. The Society of Professional Engineers Permian Basin section will use their funds to help local STEM teachers inform their students of the opportunities available in the oil and gas industry. YWLA will use their funds to support its new athletics program. This is the Life Tributes column. Stevens Tucker Harper, January 5, 1949 to September 4, 2024. Stevens Tucker Harper passed away Wednesday, September 4th, surrounded by his family. Steve was born in Austin on January 5, 1949 to Barbara and Tom Harper Jr. Steve is survived by his wife of 51 years, Eleanor Harper, his daughter Rebecca Renault and her husband Dave, along with their children Arden and Connor of Dallas, his son Scott Harper and his wife Jessica, along with their children Anna Claire and Dawson of Midland, his brother Thomas Harper III of Houston, as well as many nieces and nephews. Friends are invited to a memorial service celebrating Steve's life with the family at 10 a.m. on Friday, September 27th, in the chapel of First Baptist Church. A reception will follow in the nearby chapel foyer. In lieu of flowers, donations in honor of Steve may be directed to the Redeemer Church of Midland or online at redeemer-midland.org. And Save Muni Golf Course in Austin online at themuniconservancy.com/donate. Amy Davenport, April 30, 1962 to September 21, 2024. Amy Conger Davenport passed away at home on September 21. She was born in Midland on April 30, 1962 to Eloise Conger Davenport and Robert McCall Davenport. Amy was preceded in death by her grandparents, Ruth Blakeney Conger and Harvey Hill Conger of Midland, and Margaret Harvey Davenport and Jacob McCall Davenport of Abilene. Amy is survived by her mother and father of Midland, and her brothers Robert McCall Davenport Jr. and his wife Elizabeth of Midland, and Blakeney Conger Davenport and his wife Brooke of Dallas. Also surviving Amy is her aunt, Elaine Conger Gist of Midland. There will be a reception at the home of Eloise and Bob Davenport on Wednesday, September 25th from 5 to 7 p.m., 3 Greenwich Drive. A private family burial will take place at another time. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorials be directed to a favorite charity. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Grace Lynn Rose DeBon. Grace Lynn Rose Gracie DeBon, 2 months old, passed away on Saturday, September 21st. Viewing will be Thursday, September 26th from 1 to 9 p.m., with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. that evening at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass is set for Friday, September 27th at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Funeral Mass is under the direction of Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel, and family messages and condolences may be emailed to Pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Margarita H. Rodriguez. Margarita H. Rodriguez, 82, of Midland, passed from this life on September 22nd in Midland, surrounded by her loving family. A viewing will be held on Thursday, September 26th, from 2 to 7 p.m. The rosary will be held at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be celebrated on Friday, September 27th at 2 p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe in Midland, with burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home in Midland. Richard Hubbard. Richard Hubbard, 78, passed away on Monday, September 2nd. The family will receive friends for visitation Friday, September 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to Pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com.
ECISD College Night opens doors. Ector County ISD will host its annual College Night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. September the 26th at the Odessa College Sports Center. This highly anticipated event is open to all ECISD students and is a valuable opportunity to explore a wide range of post-secondary options. More than 50 colleges and universities from across the nation will be in attendance. ECISD students are encouraged to attend and take advantage of the resources and guidance available during College Night. Parents and guardians are also welcome to join their students in exploring the diverse opportunities that lie ahead. For more information about College Night, contact the ECISD Post-Secondary Department at 432-456-5234. Local singer-songwriter to open for Tracy Lawrence, Chris Cagle concert. Multi-talented Hadley Joe is set to open for Tracy Lawrence and Chris Cagle starting at 7 p.m. September the 28th at Monument Bank Ballpark. The Midland Rockhounds are hosting the concert and proceeds will benefit the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Permian Basin. Hadley Joe, now 16, has been performing since she was 12. She has been writing songs for 5 years. I first started out in June of 2020. I played my first open mic night at the Destination in Midland, and after I got my first applause, I just fell in love with the stage and the audience and performing. That's where my journey started, and I've been performing ever since, Hadley Joe said. Her parents, Susie and Charlie Pritchard, go to gigs with her. She took the songwriting class taught by Grammy Award-winning singer and songwriter Larry Gatlin last year. Hadley Joe said she had met Gatlin previously, and he told her about the 8-week class at UTBP. I got to go, and that was my first college experience, and it was great. I learned so much from him, she said. Songwriting began during COVID. It was quarantine. I was sick and in and out of the hospital. I was kind of missing my friends and getting to go and do things. Mom got me a notebook and said, "How about you start writing your feelings down in your notebook?" So I did, and those feelings started rhyming, and the rhyming started turning into songs. So I was writing songs before I even really play an instrument. She now plays guitar, piano, banjo, and mandolin, and she's learning to play the fiddle. Hadley Joe performs a lot of songs by singer-songwriters, a little classic country, and sometimes she'll throw in a little bit of Stevie Nicks. But I'm pretty traditional country, she added. She's met a lot of performers in the music business. I record in Nashville all the time, too, so I'm constantly meeting new singer-songwriters, musicians, producers, mixers, etc. in Nashville, not only Texas. Wherever I go, I'm guaranteed to meet some person in the music business. Hadley Joe's music can be found on all the streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, and YouTube, for example. This day in history. Today is Wednesday, September the 25th. And on September the 25th in 1957, 9 black students who had been forced to withdraw from Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas, because of unruly white crowds, were escorted to class by members of the U.S. Army's 101st Airborne Division and the National Guard. Also on this date, in 1513, Spanish explorer Vasco Nuñez de Balboa crossed the Isthmus of Panama and sighted the Pacific Ocean. In 1956, the first transatlantic telephone cable officially went into service with a three-way ceremonial call between New York, Ottawa, and London. In 1978, 144 people were killed when a Pacific Southwest Airlines Boeing 727 and a private plane collided over San Diego. In 2005, in the presence of disarmament observers, the Irish Republican Army decommissioned its arsenal of weapons, officially ending a 36-year armed campaign for a unified Irish state. In 2012, President Barack Obama, speaking to the UN General Assembly, pledged U.S. support for Syrians trying to oust President Bashar Assad, calling him a dictator who massacres his own people. In 2013, skipper Jimmy Spithill and Oracle Team USA won the America's Cup with one of the greatest comebacks in sports history, speeding past Dean Barker and Emirates Team New Zealand in the winner-take-all race 19 on San Francisco Bay. In 2018, Bill Cosby was sentenced to 3 to 10 years in prison for drugging and molesting a woman at his suburban Philadelphia home. After serving nearly 3 years, Cosby went free in June 2021 after the Pennsylvania Supreme Court overturned his conviction.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, September 25th, 2024. Midland Health. How exercise can boost your mood. Start small and start slow, and just start. You already know exercise is good for your physical body. But did you know it can improve your mood, enhance your sleep, and help with depression, anxiety, and stress? Exercise is a powerful medicine for these common mental health challenges. Brain chemicals like serotonin and dopamine are often lacking in those struggling with depression and anxiety. The physical movement of our body naturally increases these vital brain chemicals. Serotonin and dopamine are associated with happiness and well-being, reducing tiredness, and increasing energy levels. Start small and start slow, and just start. Enhancing physical activity doesn't have to be tied to a costly gym membership. There are many ways to get movement in the day. A simple early morning walk can do wonders for your well-being. There are free exercise videos like yoga, Pilates, and stretching videos available online. These can be done in the comfort of your living room for free. Just 30 minutes of moderate exercise 5 times a week is enough. If it's easier, try breaking down into 2 15-minute or even 3 10-minute exercise sessions throughout the day. Exercise can improve the structure of our brains by improving the strength and connections between brain cells. This can lead to improvement in memory, cognition, and word recall. The old school of thought was the brain at ages and there is nothing we can do to stop it. This simply isn't true. Studies show exercise can reduce age-related mental challenges. Mental changes. Research has shown that regular physically active people were 9 years younger biologically speaking than our more sedentary friends. Exercise. Stomach vacuum, a core workout with results. In the ever-evolving world of social media fitness trends, the quote stomach vacuum, end quote, exercise has been on the rise. And experts say this one might be worth the hype. Unlike many viral challenges, the stomach vacuum has roots in traditional fitness practices. According to sports medicine specialist Dr. Jordan D. Metzel, it's like, quote, a biceps curl for your abs, end quote. Focusing on the transverse abdominal muscles, the deepest layer of your core, Today.com reported. There are several ways to perform a stomach vacuum, and Healthline recommends trying the seated version, which is one of the more challenging variations. Here's how to do it. Begin by sitting upright in a chair with your feet flat on the floor and your hands resting on your thighs. Inhale deeply, then exhale slowly while tightening your lower abdominal muscles, drawing your belly button in towards your spine. Maintain this position for 20 to 30 seconds, breathing naturally as you hold the contraction. Aim to repeat this process 2 to 3 times. Katie Wong, a personal trainer and founding instructor for Peloton Row, told Today the exercise has been around for years. often incorporated into yoga and Pilates routines. Quote, any time instructors say belly button to the spine, it's a version of that stomach vacuum, end quote, she said. The exercise's potential benefits include improved posture, reduced risk of lower back injury, and enhanced core strength. However, with any exercise routine, it's important to approach it with a healthy mindset. Experts caution against unrealistic expectations. The stomach vacuum can contribute to core strength, but it won't magically flatten your belly without other lifestyle changes. Wang also advised those with high blood pressure to skip this exercise because it can cause spikes. Exercise. Stomach vacuum a core workout with results. In the ever-evolving world of social media fitness trends, the, quote, stomach vacuum, end quote, exercise has been on the rise. And experts say this one might be worth the hype. Unlike many viral challenges, the stomach vacuum has roots in traditional fitness practices. According to sports medicine specialist Dr. Jordan D. Metzel, it's like, quote, a biceps curl for your abs, end quote. Focusing on the transverse abdominal muscles, the deepest layer of your core, Today.com reported. There are several ways to perform a stomach vacuum, and Healthline recommends trying the seated version, which is one of the more challenging variations. Here's how to do it. Begin by sitting upright in a chair with your feet flat on the floor and your hands resting on your thighs. Inhale deeply, then exhale slowly, while tightening your lower abdominal muscles, drawing your belly button in towards your spine. Maintain this position for 20 to 30 seconds, breathing naturally as you hold the contraction. Aim to repeat this process 2 to 3 times. Katie Wong, a personal trainer and founding instructor for Peloton Row, told Today the exercise has been around for years, often incorporated into yoga and Pilates routines. Quote, any time instructors say belly button to the spine, it's a version of that stomach vacuum, end quote, she said. The exercise's potential benefits include improved posture, reduced risk of lower back injury, and enhanced core strength. However, with any exercise routine, it's important to approach it with a healthy mindset. Experts caution against unrealistic expectations. The stomach vacuum can contribute to core strength, but it won't magically flatten your belly without other lifestyle changes. Wang also advised those with high blood pressure to skip this exercise because it can cause spikes. University of Pittsburgh, CPR training at Hamlin's alma mater, credited with saving life. A few months after Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin went into cardiac arrest during an NFL game, his alma mater, the University of Pittsburgh, trained its roughly 400 athletes in CPR and how to use an automated external defibrillator. For soccer goalie Ellie Breach, it was a refresher of the skills she'd learned while working summers as a lifeguard at a pool in her hometown of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Ellie also was quite familiar with the life-saving potential of CPR. She grew up hearing about it around the dinner table. Her father, Ed Breach, is an emergency room nurse who has used it to save lives. The training at Pitt was in the spring of 2023. In December, Ellie went home for winter break. She and Ed spent a day together doing a 10-mile hike. On Christmas morning, Ed worked his usual night shift, then returned home and opened presents with his wife, Maggie. Ellie and her brother, Mac, and Mac's girlfriend. Then Ed went to the basement to take his daily post-work nap. From the kitchen nearby, Maggie heard Ed making a loud snoring sound. It was unusual because Ed didn't snore. She called his name. When he didn't respond, she went downstairs. She called out again, but he didn't answer. Maggie thought Ed was playing a practical joke. She sat beside him and touched his arm once, then again. He didn't move. Call 911, Maggie yelled. Ellie placed the call, then ran downstairs. Ed's face was turning blue. Ellie moved him to the floor and started CPR. She kept it up for 9 minutes. When the police arrived, they connected an AED to Ed. The device said he had a, quote, non-shockable, end quote, heart rhythm, or pulseless electrical activity. It's when the heart stops because its electrical activity is too weak to make it beat. This also meant the device couldn't be used to try saving his life. CPR was the only option for now. EMTs came soon after. They put Ed in a mechanical chest compression device and took him to the same ER where he'd just been working only hours earlier. In the hospital, as Ed's colleagues cared for him, his lungs filled with fluid. They performed more CPR. To give his heart and lungs time to heal, doctors put on an extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, or ECMO, machine. It takes over the job of the heart and lungs, oxygenating blood and moving it through the body. Ed was then transferred to a nearby hospital with more ECMO expertise. He was on the machine for 5 days. 5 days after that, his breathing tube came out. Ellie was with him as the sedatives he'd been given started to wear off. She noticed his eyes light up. Quote, "Thank you for saving my life," he whispered to Ellie. The family brought Ed a pug-stuffed animal, a nod to all the rescue pugs they've had over the years. The doll didn't leave Ed's side. On New Year's, nurses dressed up the doll, fitting it with a surgical cap over a tiara and a noisemaker. Finally, 22 days after his cardiac arrest, Ed went home. He had no brain damage from the ordeal. Quote, "Immediate CPR is what gave my dad the best chance of survival, and the reason he probably doesn't have a brain injury today," end quote, Ellie said. Quote, "It was the great training I had," end quote. Ed gained his strength back in outpatient therapy, and he's back at work. Doctors sought a reason for why his heart stopped, but never found one. Maggie is thankful that Ellie was home that day and that in addition to knowing what to do, she was willing to try. Quote, "Ellie has composure and an ability to remain calm in a crisis situation. She's been that way from a young age," end quote, Maggie said. Since Ed's cardiac arrest, the family adopted a real-life pug, a light beige puppy named George, who has replaced the stuffed pug as Ed's constant companion. Quote, "He's Ed's little buddy," end quote, Maggie said. At the time of Ed's cardiac event, Ellie was studying engineering. Now she wants to work in medicine. She jokes with Ed that he didn't have to have a medical emergency to get her to pursue the same field as him. She's figuring out what type of role might suit her best. Quote, "I really am a people person, but science is also where my heart is," end quote, she said. In February, Ellie was honored at a Pitt men's basketball game alongside her dad and other healthcare heroes. Hamlin, who graduated in 2020, presented her with an award. Ellie shared her family's story with the NFL player. Quote, "I think it really warmed his heart," end quote, Ellie said. As for Ed and Ellie, dining room table conversations about CPR have a new resonance, now that both have a deeper understanding of the life-saving power of CPR. Quote, "I don't think I would have been able to save my dad's life if he hadn't shared how he used it to save so many others," end quote, Ellie said. Quote, "He's taught me to be very, very fearless," end quote. Body weight. Severe obesity is on the rise in the U.S. Obesity is high and holding steady in the U.S., but the proportion of those with severe obesity, especially women, has climbed since a decade ago, according to new government research. The U.S. obesity rate is about 40%, according to a 2021 to 2023 survey of about 6,000 people. Nearly 1 in 10 of those surveyed reported severe obesity. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found women were nearly twice as likely as men to report severe obesity. The overall obesity rate appeared to tick down versus the 2017 to 2020 survey, but the change wasn't considered statistically significant. The numbers are small enough that there's mathematical chance they didn't truly decline. That means it's too soon to know whether new treatments for obesity, including blockbuster weight loss drugs such as Wegovy and Zepbound, can help ease the epidemic of the chronic disease linked to a host of health problems, according to Dr. Samuel Emmerich, the CDC public health officer who led the latest study. Quote, "We simply can't see down to that detailed level to prescription medication use and compare that to changes in obesity prevalence," end quote, Emmerich said. Quote, "Hopefully that is something we can see in the future," end quote. Most telling, though, the results that show that the overall obesity rate in the U.S. has not changed significantly in a decade, even as the rate of severe obesity climbed from nearly 8% in the 2013 to 2014 survey to nearly 10% in the most recent one. Before that, obesity had increased rapidly in the U.S. since the 1990s, federal surveys showed. Measures of obesity and severe obesity are determined according to body mass index, a calculation based on height and weight. People with a BMI of 30 are considered to have obesity. Those with a BMI of 40 or higher have severe obesity. BMI is regarded as a flawed tool but remains widely used by doctors to screen for obesity. Quote, seeing increases in severe obesity is even more alarming because that's the level of obesity that's most highly associated with some of the highest levels of cardiovascular disease and diabetes and lower quality of life, end quote, said Solveig Cunningham, an Emory University global health professor who specializes in obesity. Cunningham, who was not involved in the new study, said it's not clear why rates of severe obesity are going up or why they were higher among women. Factors could include the effects of hormones, the impact of childbearing, or other causes that require further study, she said. The new study also found that obesity rates varied by education. Almost 32% of people with a bachelor's degree or higher reported having obesity, compared with about 45% of those with some college or a high school diploma or less. The new report follows the release earlier this month of data from U.S. states and territories that showed that in 2023, the rate of obesity ranged widely by place, from a high of more than 41% of adults in West Virginia to a low of less than 24% of adults in Washington, D.C. Rates were highest in the Midwest and the South. All U.S. states and territories posted obesity rates higher than 20%. In 23 states, more than 1 in 3 adults had obesity, the data showed. Before 2013, no state had a rate that high, said Dr. Allison Goodman, who leads a CDC team focused on population health. Color-coded U.S. maps tracking the change have gradually shifted from green and yellow, the hues associated with lower obesity rates, to orange and dark red, linked to higher prevalence. Quote, sometimes when you look at all that red, it is really discouraging, end quote, Goodman said. But she added, recent emphasis on understanding obesity as a metabolic disease and new interventions such as the new class of weight loss drugs gives her hope. The key is preventing obesity in the first place, starting in early childhood, Cunningham said. Even when people develop obesity, preventing additional weight gain should be the goal. Quote, it's really hard to get obesity to reverse at the individual level and at the population level, end quote, Cunningham said. Quote, I guess it's not surprising that we're not seeing downward shifts in the prevalence of obesity, end quote.
This is the Dear Abby column. Man feels threatened by friend's new girlfriend. Dear Abby, I'm a gay man who is best friends with Carl, a man who is straight. We are everything you'd expect of a normal friendship. On a surface level, there is no difference. He goes well out of his way to make me feel welcomed and accepted, and I appreciate it. Recently, Carl found a significant other. I'm happy for him because he really does deserve it. The problem is, I am jealous. I know without a shadow of a doubt that my relationship with Carl will never be anything more than platonic. I think I know why this bothers me so much. Carl is nice, smart, and attractive, and we get along amazingly. Yet someone other than me is with him. Abby, the thing is, I never wanted to be with him before. My darkest secret, I recently stole one of his shirts because I wanted part of him with me. Now, I feel like I betrayed our friendship and I am a thief. I have so many mixed emotions. How should I handle our friendship going forward? Signed, Lost in Arkansas. Dear Lost, your feelings under these circumstances are not unusual. You are afraid that because a third person has been put in the mix, your special relationship with Carl will be lost or diminished. It doesn't have to be that way. You were always friends, and you can continue to be. However, you may have to branch out and build new relationships, which will not only fill any empty time, but may also lead to you finding a special someone of your own. If you do not feel better after branching out, and there's an LGBTQ center near you, please consider talking to a counselor there to help you through this. If there isn't one, search online for emotional support. Dear Abby, my husband recently lost a substantial amount of weight. He's 30 pounds lighter and has been maintaining it with up to a 10-pound fluctuation. Before he lost the weight, his family constantly commented on his weight and would ridicule him. They'd poke his stomach and say, "What's this?" in a not nice way. After he lost the weight, they continued with comments like, "Where'd your stomach go?" They never seemed to cease. If he's on the heavier side, they comment about him gaining the weight back. It isn't true. The scale doesn't lie. My husband is tired of being picked on and beaten down. He is at a healthy weight and happy with his body when he isn't being degraded. How should we let his family know we don't appreciate these comments? To clarify, this includes not only his immediate family, but also his extended relatives. What would be a good way to tactfully say, in the moment, that we don't appreciate the commentary? Signed, Picked On in Oregon. Dear Picked On, I'm not sure you should handle these relatives with kid gloves. It might have more impact if your husband tells them calmly that he has tolerated their comments about his weight, but he finally has a handle on it and doesn't need their constant weigh-ins. They are neither helpful nor funny, and they should stop. If not, they'll be seeing less of the two of you. You can contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.